Today's Amud is Yevamos Pei Gimel Amud Beis. We're holding on Pei Gimel Amud Beis, 12 lines from the top, by the two dots, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer. So we had in the Mishnah, the Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Tumtum V'chulu, that a Tumtum, who is the person that's covered up, his Makayim Erva is covered up, it's not clear if he's a Zachar or a Nikeva, but he's Nikra, that Makayim that's covered up is torn, and it's revealed that really he's a Zachar. Still the halacha is that if his brother's wife falls to him in Yibum, so he does not perform Yibum or even Chalitza, because a Tumtum Shenikra is always going to be a Sres Chama, and a Sres Chama does not perform Chalitza. Memela, a Tumtum Shenikra, but Nimsa Zachar is not going to perform Chalitza, because he's a Sres. Now says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Ami asked on Rabbi Yehuda, that my avali Rabbi Yehuda will tumtum the biri. What's Rabbi Yehuda going to do with the ma'isa shahaya? There was a tumtum in biri. The isvuhu abekor say they put him on the operating chair, and the ikra they tore him open. He was torn, and it was discovered that he's a zachar. And va'ilut shava benin, he was able to go on to have seven children. So you see that he's not a sres. A tumtum shenikra is not necessarily a sres. This person was a tumtum shenikra, and he went on to have 7 children. So how could Rabbi Yehuda say that every tumtum shenikra is a sres, and therefore not shy after chalitza? You see over here, ma'isa shaya, then he had 7 children. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lach, El Chazar Abanav Me'ayin Heim. Rabbi Yehuda will tell you that in a Chanami, I'm going to tell you that those aren't his children. He went on, he seems like he had 7 children, but I think you should really investigate, and really you'll see that they're really not his children. Tani, we learned in the Braisa, that Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda is Chaylik and Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says that Tumtum La Yachlites, he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that the Tumtum should not do Chalitza, even if he's Nikra, he should not perform Chalitza, but why? Because Shema Yikra V'Nimsa Sres Chama, only because maybe he'll be torn and it'll be discovered that he's a Sres Chama, meaning there is a possibility that it'll be Nikra and it'll be a Zachar and he won't be a Sres Chama, but maybe it'll be Yikra V'Nimsa Sres Chama, and therefore he shouldn't perform Chalitza because he's a Safik Sres Chama. So a Tumtum L'Yachla, so if let's say there are other brothers to perform chalitza, this tumtum shouldn't be the one to perform the chalitza, because his chalitza is only a safik, because maybe it's going to be discovered that he's a sres chama. Maybe if he's torn open, it'll be discovered that he's a sres chama. So you see clear that Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda held that the tumtum shenikra is not necessarily a sres chama, but he might be. It's a safik sres chama, and that's why it's preferable that a different brother should be the one to perform the chalitza. Now the Gemara says a kasha on this lashon of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. He says that why shouldn't he be the brother to perform chalitza? Why shouldn't the tumtum be the one to perform the chalitza? Because maybe it will be torn and it will be discovered that he's a sres chama. Ask the Gemara. There's a much more basic chashash. He shouldn't be the one to perform the chalitza. A different brother should perform the chalitza, because atu called the mikra zachar havi. Who says it'll be torn and it'll be discovered that he's even a zachar? Maybe he's really a nikeva. That's why he shouldn't perform the chalitza. He shouldn't be the one to perform chalitza with his other brothers, because he might really be a nikeva. That's why he shouldn't do it. That's why you should have a different brother performing the chalitza. Not because maybe he's a sres, it's because maybe he's not even a zachar. So says the Gemara in a chanami that hachi ka'amar. This is what Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda meant to say, that he shouldn't be the one to perform the chalitza because in a chanami, because shem yikra v'nim se nekeva. It's because maybe he's not even a zachar. Maybe that it will be discovered that it's a nekeva, and therefore he shouldn't be the one to perform the chalitza. Va'afilu nimsa zachar. And what he was coming to say is that even if it's discovered that he's a zachar, but shami yimsa sres chama, but maybe it's going to be discovered that he's a sres chama, and therefore he shouldn't be the one to perform the chalitza. Al kapanim, you see clear that there's a machlaikas between Rabbi Yehuda and his son Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda held that a sres chama, that a tumtum is, if he's nikra v'nimsa zachar, he's a vaday sres chama. And Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda held that it's only a suffix sres chama. Now, either way, they're not performing the chalitza. So says the Gemara, might be naya, will be a nafkamina between if he's a suffix sres chama or a vades sres chama. Says the Gemara, Amarava, 2 nafkaminas. Amarava, nafkamina number 1, lifso b'makim achin. And nafkamina number 2 is v'lachle shloi b'makim achin ike b'nayo. That's going to be the nafkamina. Nafkamina number 1 is lifsol b'makim achin, is to passel the other brothers from being able to perform Yibam. Let's say Reuven is married to Mrs. Reuven, and Reuven dies without having any children, and now Mrs. Reuven falls to Shimon and Levi. Now Shimon is this tumtum shenikra. So if Shimon goes ahead and does chalitza with Mrs. Reuven, does he aser Mrs. Reuven onto Levi? Is Levi still allowed to be miyaving her? According to Rabbi Yehuda, that Shimon is a vadeis res, so his chalitza was a monkey act. It was completely, it was just a play. And nothing, it was nothing, it was completely nothing, not even a suffix, because the tumtum shenikra is a vadeis res chama, so his chalitza was meaningless. If so, Levi could go ahead and Levi could still be miyaving Mrs. Reuven. As opposed to Lefi Rabbi Yaisi, Rabbi Yehuda, that Shimon's chalitza was a suffix chalitza, because maybe he's not a sris chama, so it was a suffix chalitza, so Levi is not gonna be suffix, it's gonna be also for Levi to go ahead and be miyabe Mrs. Reuven. So that would be one nafkamina. And nafkamina number two is v'lach l'chaloi b'makim achen. If let's say there's no other brothers, just Shimon, Reuven died, and now Mrs. Reuven falls to Shimon. And Shimon is a tumtum. So is there any maila in having Shimon performing the chalitza? And is there any requirement for Shimon to perform the chalitza? The few Rabbi Yehuda that Shimon is a vadai stress, so Mrs. Reuven could go ahead and marry Lashok without having to worry. However, according to Rabbi Yaisi Rabbi Yehuda, that Shimon is only a suffix stress, mamela Mrs. Reuven is not going to be able to marry Lashok. She's going to have to be chayshish that maybe Shimon is not a stress. So she'll have to first get chalitza from Shimon before she goes ahead and marries Lashok. That would be a second Nafkamina. Says the Gemara Vayter now, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Abba, Achud Rav Yehuda Bar Zavdi, Amar Rav, he said in Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, ultimately this was all said in the name of Rav, that Nandragnes Chayavin Alav Skila Mishtei Mekoymais, that if a Zachar is together with an Andragnes, so he's Chayiv for being with Andragnes, in both places, both with the Makam Zachars and in the Makam Nakvas. An Andragnes, like we mentioned, has both the Makam Zachars and the Makam Nakvas. A Zachar is Chayiv for Mishkav Zachar, but only if it's an actual Bia. What does it mean, Bia with a Zachar? So normally it's the Makam Zachars. Over here, will be both in the Makam Zachars and in the Makam Nakvas. In both places, the Zachar will be Chayiv Skila, which we mentioned before, that really might be a Machlaikas in the Mishnah. The Tanakhama of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said in our Mishnah that a Zachar, that an Andragnes is only Chayiv Skila b'makim Zachar, in the Makim Zachars. We want to explain, at least the Rabbi Eichnan, that the Tanakhama held also that there's a Chayiv Skila, also that an Andragnes is a Vade Zachar, but he held that he's Chayiv in Shnei Mekoyim Mais. Rabbi Eliezer was coming to say Kula, so to speak, that no, he's only Chayiv Skila if it's b'makim Zachars and not b'makim Nakvas, as opposed to the Tanakhama of Rabbi Eliezer held that no, it's both in the Makim Nakvas and in the Makim Zachars. That was Machlokes Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer. But this is now the Gemara is bringing it from Rav, who said this is Mamish Lehedya. The Tanakam never spoke this out. Rav is saying in Lehedya that an Andragnes is Chayiv Skila. If a Zachar is with him, he's Chayiv Skila in Shtei Mekoymos, both in the Makim Zachars and in the Makim Nakvas. Now I asked the Gemara Meisvei, we learned in the Braisa, and it's interesting, the Gemara brings it from a Braisa, I guess also because it's not first in the Mishnah, but Rabbi Eliezer Amar, Rabbi Eliezer said, an Andragnes Chayavan Olav Skila Kizachar, that an Andragnes are only Chayav Skila Kizachar, only in the Makim Zachras, not in the Makim Nakvas. So how could Rav, who's in the Amayra, argue on Rabbi Eliezer? Even though sometimes we say Rav Tanhu Upalo, it's only if we have to. But Lamai says Rav seems to be going against the Tana, Rav seems to be going against Rabbi Eliezer. How could he do such a thing? What's the braisa that says otherwise? Because it says he's only chayv alav skila kizachar, but medvar mamur and bezachar shaloi avav benakva shaloi potter. So the braisa mamish says it lehedya that you're only chayv kizachar if he's with him b'makim zachras, but not if he's with him b'makim nakvas. So the braisa is very clear. Not like our mishnah, the braisa says it very clearly. This is what we wanted to say is trying to the mishnah, but the braisa is mamish mefurish that a person is chayv for mishkav zachar for being with an andragnes only if it's b'makim zachras, but not if it's in the makim nakvas. Not like Rav said. So how could Rav argue on Rabbi Eliezer of the Braisa? So says the Gemara, who the Amar Kiai Tano? Rav will tell you that he's going like the following Tano. The Tano we learned in the Braisa that Rabbi Simai Oimer Andragnes Chayavin Alav Skila Mishtei Mekoymais. He has a different Tano whose Taka says that Andragnes, a person, a Zachar could be Chay for being with an Andragnes in both places, both in the Makim Zachars and in the Makim Nakvas. Interesting that the Gemara doesn't just bring the Tanakama of Rabbi Eliezer. In our Mishnah, the Tanakhama of Rabbi Eliezer, we wanted to say, holds that he's chayiv in both places. I guess here also, because we have a place that's mefurish, Rabbi Simai says it mamish lehed, you like Rav, so there's no need to come on to Diyukim from our Mishnah. It's mamish mefurish and Rabbi Simai that an Andragnes is chayiv in all of skila b'shtei mekoymos, both in the Makim Zachras and in the Makim Nakvas. Now, my taiva to Rabbi Simai, meaning what is makar? That a person could be chayv in shtei makaymas. Usually, Mishkav Zachar, we would think, is only in the makim of Zacharis. So what's the makar? That by an androgynous, the halacha changes, and that he could even be chayv in the makim Nakvas. So Amar Rava, Rava explained that Barhamduri is asverly, that Barhamduri explained it to me, that he learned it from a pasuk. The pasuk says, as Zachar, le tishkav mishkevei isha. This is the pasuk of Mishkav Zachar, that a Zachar should not have a Mishkave Isha, which is the Isra Mishkav Zachar, but Rav Simai learned from Mishkave Isha, Mishkave is written by Lashon Rabbim, that we're talking about a Zachar that has two Mishkavos, that has two ways of being with him. Eizu Zachar Sheish Bashtei Mekaymais. What's a Zachar that has two Mekaymais? Havi Oimer is androgynous, it's our friends with an androgynous. So the Torah is saying Lahedya, that there's an Isra to be with an androgynous, and it's in both places. So the as Zachar is the regular Isra of Mishkav Zachar, in the Malkim Zachars. Lois Ishkav Mishkave Isha, Mishkave teaches us an androgynous that is Chayiv in both places. Whereas for Rabbanan will tell you, that even though it says Mishkave, really it's only Chayiv in the Malkim Zacharos, Afagav the Isra Shnei Mishkavos, as Zachar said. That even though the androgynous has two Mishkavos, the Torah was coming to say that as Zachar, that he's only Chayiv though, in the Malkim Zacharos and not in the Malkim Nakvos. Now according to the Rabbanan, and now we use the as Zachar to teach us about an androgynous, the as Zachar is teaching us about an androgynous, so ask the Gemara of Rabbanan Zachar Greda Minaluhu. Where do we ever know it? Where do we have a Makar in the Torah for the standard Isra of Mishkav Zachar? Maybe it's only by an androgynous. Lafi Rabbi Simai, as Zachar is regular Mishkav Zachar. Leisishkav Mishkave Isha is an androgynous. But Lafi the Rabbanan that we need to use up the as Zachar to teach us something about androgynous, so where do the Rabbanan know it from? For the classic, so to speak, Isra of Mishkav Zachar. So it says the Gemara, going with the Gersa change, that me the S Zachar, that he learned it out from the S Zachar, the extra the S Zachar, the S, so that's where he learned it out from, the regular Isser of Mishkav Zachar. Now ask the Gemara, Shalai Kedarka Minalehu. Now I guess both of them, both Rabbi Simai and the Rabbanan, where do they know Shalai Kedakar? Meaning we could have understood that Mishkave Isha is coming to teach us that the person who's asr to a woman, an Ishish, Anido, any other arayas, so there's an Isser to be with her even in the regular way, and also even if it's Shalai Kedarka. We could have understood that that's learned out from Mishkave Isha. From Mishkave Isha we learn out both, but now that we're saying Mishkave Isha is used, so what do we learn out to teach us about an androgynous? So where do we know that the person's chayiv for being with any sort of a woman that's asr to him? Where do we know that that Isra applies even to Shalai Kedarka? Shalai Kedarka Minalahu Mi Isha. We learned it now from Mishkave Isha. It could have just said Leisishkave Mishkave, Leisishkav Mishkave. From the fact that it says Mishkave Isha, we learn now from Isha that a person is chayiv for being with a woman that he's asr to, even if it's Shalai Kedarka. It says the Gemara now, Amrav Shizvi Amrav Chista. Rav Shizvi says over in the name of Rav Chista. So we mentioned before that Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah says that a person is chayiv for being a chayiv skila for being with an androgynous for alf mishkav zachar, meaning an androgynous has the din of a vaday zachar. Has the din of a vaday zachar ad kedei kach that there's skila for mishkav zachar with an androgynous. Now on that, I'm Rav Shizvi, I'm Rav Chista, that you should know that even though Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah is clear. Rabbi Eliezer is clear that an androgynous has the din of a vadei zachar with regards to mishkav zachar. Loy lekol amar Rabbi Eliezer androgynous zachar ma'al yehu. It's not with regards to all halachos that Rabbi Eliezer considers an androgynous to be a vadei zachar. It's dafka by mishkav zachar, maybe other things, but it's not with regards to everything. That's for sure. And what's my raya? Shema ta'imer kain, because if you would say that an androgynous always has the din of a zachar, so then by animals you should say the same thing. You should say that an animal that's an androgynous should have the din of a vadai zachar, in which case b'mukdash and yikadish, that if a person comes to be makdish a behemoth that's an androgynous, so the halacha should be that the kedusha is typeface on the behemoth. The kedusha should be typeface on the behemoth because it's a zachar. It's not some sort of suffix or some sort of beri b'fnei atzmai. It's a regular zachar. If Rabbi Eliezer really held that an andragonist with regards to all halachis is treated as a vadi zachar, so then by behemoths it should follow suit that a behema that's nasa hektish, it should haka become hektish. And we know in the loy kadosh, and says the Gemara, how do you know the loy kadosh? What's your makar, the fear of Eliezer, that the kedusha is taka not typhase on the behema? If you have a behema that's an andragonist, that you come to be makdish, that it does not become hektish, because we don't view it as a zachar, the Tan Rabbanim, it's from a braisa. That's how we know that this is the sheet of Eliezer. Because we learned in the Braisa so the Braisa is discussing birds. So the halacha by birds is that even though typically a person has to shecht an animal or a bird in order for it to not be a nevela, a bird or an animal just dies by cutting off its neck without shechita or shooting it, cutting it some other way. So it's a nevela. Only by shechita, that's how you make it that it's not a nevela. By hektish, There's a tremendous chiddush by birds that even by hektish, a bird, they didn't do shechita, they did malika. The kain would just sever the neck, sever the bird's head from the body with his nail. That was a chiddush by a malika by oifes that are hektish. And when it does that, it does not become a nevela. If you would take a regular bird on the street, not a hektish bird, and you would do that, the bird would be a nevela. By hektish, if you do it in the animal and the bird is hektish, so then it's not a nevela. Now there's a big nafkamina, besides the more obvious ones, by birds, whether it's a nevela or not. Besides the kashrus aspect of it, there's also a tumah aspect. There's a chiddush in the Torah by birds, that by birds there's a tumah called nivlas oiftar. That if you have an oiftar, a kasher bird, that becomes a nevela, and a person eats that bird, so the halacha is that as soon as the bird, as soon as the basar enters into the base abliya, and enters into his throat, so then all the clothing that he's wearing becomes tameh. The person's wearing clothing, when he eats this bird, has tumas base abliya, and the begadim that he's wearing become tameh. So now, if a kayin, if you shach the hektish bird, not shach the, if you do malika on a bird of hektish, it's not going to have that tumah. But if he's doing malika and that bird is really not hektish, so then it will have that tumah. So now let's say you have a bird that is presumed to be hektish, the kayin does malika, but really it's a bird that was hanerva. It was a bird that a human being was together with it. So it's aser, it's puzzle for hektish. The hamukse, or it was set aside for avodah zarah. Va'nevad, it was served as an avodah zarah. Va'esnan, it was used to pay for a zayna. U'mechir, was used to pay for a dog. Va'tumtum, ba'andragnes, all these things are possible to be used as hektish. And memela, if the kain did malika to it, so since it's not hektish, it actually makes it into a nevela. Memela mitamin begodim abesa bliya. It's going to have tumas nivlas aiftar, and it will be mitamin the person's clothing once it enters into his throat. Rabbi Eliezer says that tumtum v'andragonus ain't metamin begadim abeis ablia. That if you do this to a bird that's a tumtum or an andragonus, so then it's not going to make it into a nevela. It's kosher for hektish. A tumtum v'andragonus bird is kosher for hektish. Shahaya Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, but only because Rabbi Eliezer said that kol makim shenemer zachar v'nekeva, only when the Torah says that something has to be specifically by zachar or in nekeva, if it's specific about the gender, so then atamaitzi tumtum andragonus. So then you say mibeinayim. So then you say that tumtum and andragonus are excluded because the tumtum and andragonus is not a zachar and it's not in the keva. So if the Torah was specific that something could only be with a zachar or something could only be within the keva, so then tumtum and andragonus are excluded. Va'ayv, however, by birds, hayav olay nemer by zachar in the keva. It doesn't say that to bring it as a carbon it has to be very specific, a zachar or in the keva. Mamela, iatamaiti tumtum andragonus maybe nehem. So you're not going to exclude tumtum and andragonus. A tumtum and andragonus bird could be used the mizbeach. However, by animals, and this is the Gemara's raya, that when it comes to animals where the Torah does say to use a zachar or a nekeva, so then a tumtum andragonus will be excluded and you won't be able to be makdish it. So you see that tumtum andragonus animals, because the Torah says specifically zachar, so then it will be excluded from the parasha. And then that's the Gemara's raya, that you see that Rabbi Eliezer does not consider an andragonus to be a levade zachar with regards to all halachas. Even though he said he's chayev alav skila kizachar, that when it comes to animals, you see that it's not considered a vade zachar, and that's why by animals, if a person's makdish, it won't become hektish. It will be excluded from the parish only by birds, because the Torah didn't say zachar. But by animals, where the Torah says it, so then it will be excluded. Ah, but it is a zachar. Elamai, you see that it's not with regards to all halachas that Rabbi Eliezer treats nandragness as a zachar. And Amar of Nachum bar Yitzchak Achan Anami Tanina, we have a braisa like this as well, that Rabbi Eliezer does not treat an androgynous with regards to all halachos like a vade zachar, because the braisa says, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, that hakilayim, if you have an animal that's a crossbreed, it was created from two different animals, the trefa, or an animal that's a trefa, v'yetzidayfen, or an animal that was born through a C-section, tumtum v'androgynous, or a tumtum v'androgynous animal, so loy kedoshin v'loy mekadshin. What does it mean, like kedoshim, like mekachin? Vamar Shmuel, Shmuel explained that like kedoshim means bitzamura, that if you have another animal that's hektish, and you make this androgynous or tumtum animal, or whatever it is, as a tamura, and you wanted to, the kedusha to leave the original animal and go onto this one, so it doesn't work. V'lay mekachin means ba'isa tamura, that if you were makdish, one of these types of animals, let's say a tumtum and androgynous, and then you make another animal, a tamura, for this one, so also the kedusha is not chal, but you see that Shrami no, you see that there is no kedusha of the hektish cannot be typhus onto an androgynous animal. You see, Rabbi Eliezer does not treat it like a vade zachar, even though in our Mishnah we had that al mishkav zachar. When it comes to mishkav zachar, he's treated like a vade zachar. But when it comes to other halachos, you see that. So you see, it's now with regards to everything that Rabbi Eliezer treats an androgynous as a vade zachar. Says the Gemara, Eliezer, I'm Yachavon Lav Skila Kizachar. So again, the Gemara is just going back to that line of the Mishnah. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa that Amar Rebbe said that Kishalachti Lilmoy Torah Eitzel Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua. When I went to learn Torah by Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua, so Chavru Alav Alai Tamidav Ketana Goylim Shalbeis Bukia. So his Tamidim, they started chepering me. All of them, they all started chepering me, mamish like the Tarnagoylim of Beis Bukya, which are these violent chickens, and they weren't allowing me to say anything in the Beis Medrash. They were chepering me, they were bothering me, they viewed me as like an outsider, and they didn't let me in. Some of the Mefarshim explained, they thought that he was coming lekanter, they didn't think he was coming with the right intentions, and therefore they weren't really letting him be in the Beis Medrash. V'henichuni lilmoin, and says Rabbi that they didn't allow me to teach or to learn eladavar echad, except for one thing, but Mishnah Seinu, of our Mishnah, that Rabbi Eliezer Aimer androgynous chayav and Allah of skila kizachar. That's why the Gemara mentions the story over here, because this is the one halacha that was taught over there that they allowed him to say or to hear, was this halacha of Rabbi Eliezer Aimer androgynous chayav and Allah of skila kizachar. Hajan halacha arov, Ezra Hashem, will begin the ninth parak of Maseches Yevamos in the following shir.